finally made it. We're finally here. The end of the season. And for some coaches, the end of the line. At least at their current place of residence. There's an old saying as we go into BS Big Show number 505 here on 5-1 with Jason Block and the King of the North Coast, Ian McClin.
Greetings from the North Coast. Good evening,
There's an old saying.
What's if that?
If you are a coach, rule number one, don't buy rent.
Rent. Mm-hmm. Well, there's only a few coaches that can buy.
Yeah.
But Bill most Belichick, of them.
Bill Belichick probably owns a sublet in Hillsboro by now.
I'm thinking like Bill Belichick, Andy Reid.
Mike Tomlin.
Well,
let's just say he's not fired yet.
No, but they're calling for it, and I'm trying
to... Oh, it's the internet. They call for everything. Don't you know this by now?
But it is time to go on the coach's carousel because it was Whack Monday. Chico, you have the list on all the coaches that have gone, stayed, etc.
Yes, I do, and I'm going to go over the list as I have it here on my screen, courtesy of sportsnet.ca. All right, so starting with the Patriots, and this got out of the way on Sunday night. Jared Mayo was asked to clean out his locker, clean out his desk, and get the hell out of Foxborough. He was fired after going 14-3. They plan on interviewing Lions offensive coach Ben Johnson.
3-14.
No, I said 4-13.
Oh, 4-13. I thought. Never mind. Go ahead.
So
you said 14-3. You meant 4-13.
I know numbers. Anyway, here's the thing. They plan on interviewing Lions offensive coach Ben Johnson, Bucks offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, former Texans OC Pep Hamilton, and former Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. This is the news that got Jaguar Gator 9 all upset in his live stream that he did on Monday morning. They fired Doug Peterson. And believe you me, he deserved to be fired. Huh?
That shocked anyone how?
But here's the thing. Shad Khan is keeping the general manager.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay. You have a button for that.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Can I add another one for the dumb decision? If that's okay?
Yeah.
The Giants kept Dable and the GM. Play it.
And they still suck.
Well, yeah. I
figured I'd switch it up a bit, you know?
Okay, well, as I said to my dad, the esteemed Mr. Block this evening, I said that the Giants are a dumpster fire. He goes, at least the dumpster fire has purpose.
Okay, so Shad Khan, who has not been to any games because he was busy screwing up AEW, presumably, allegedly.
That's Tony Khan, Shad and the father, right? Shad's the father, Tony's the son.
Yeah, he was. Allegedly. He was busy, allegedly, watching his son foul up AEW. Is going to interview Eagles OC Kellen Moore, Raiders DC Patrick Graham, Bills OC Joe Brady, Bucks OC Liam Cohen, Ravens OC Todd Monken, Lions OC Ben Johnson, Lions DC Aaron Glenn, and former Jets whipping boy Robert Sala.
Yeah, by the way, That Ben Johnson thing, okay, uh-huh. And, you know, he's going to he's going to be on so many private jets, he's going to need to share a net jet.
Yep.
Seriously. Because he's after the Lions win the Super Bowl, he's going to need a lot of help.
He's gonna need a second phone line, I guess. Over to the Jets, if you remember, they fired Robert Sala, and let's be honest, they should have. But well, with Albrecht taking over interim and the team faring no better, they've interviewed Ron Rivera, Mike Vrabel, and Rex Ryan, and have requested a parley with Vance Joseph, Aaron Glenn, Arthur Smith, Joe Brady, Darren Rizzi, Bobby Slowick, Matt Nagy, Brian Flores, Josh McCown, and Brian Greasy. To replace the general manager, they want to interview Alec Haley, Brian Gain, Ray Farmer, Mike Greenberg. What? Oh, it's not the same one.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Brown, Ryan Grigson, Lewis Riddick, Jim Nagy, Thomas Dimitroff, and John Robinson. Okay, now we go to the Bears, who fired Matt Eberflus in the middle of the season. They want to talk to Ben Johnson, Drew Petzing, Aaron Glenn, Mike Kafka, Brian Flores, Arthur Smith, Mike McCarthy. Jerry Jones said no. Anthony Weaver, Tom Monken, Joe Brady, and Mike Vrabel, and Pete Carroll. The Saints, are they going to keep Darren Rizzi? Who knows? We'll know after they talk to Aaron Glenn, Kellen Moore, David Shaw, Joe Brady, and Anthony Weaver. The Raiders! And this was just coming out... And this was just coming out today as I was driving home from work listening to The Fan. They have fired Antonio Pierce also after a 4-13 season. Now they're going to hire their fourth coach since 2021. Cincinnati is keeping their head coach, but they're going to part ways with Lou Anarumo, their defensive coach, their D-line coach, Marion Hobby, their linebackers coach, James Betcher, and their O-line coach, Frank Pollock. Marcus Covington, Patrick Graham, they want to talk to you. Over to the Browns, Ian. Talk to me.
Well, the Browns fired offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey and offensive line coach Andy Dickerson. Didn't do well there, but they really should have fired Kevin Stefanski. They still plan to have him on, and let's get another dumb decision or something of that effect.
Okay.
That's good enough.
Yeah, you know, I've said, and you know, we'll talk more about firings and hirings as we go along, because those are really the big sort of coaches that were fired over the last 48 hours. We talked to each other about stuff before every show. And I made mention of something I heard on the radio that I thought made perfect sense. Y'all remember the Four Horsemen aligning? It's like the Four Horsemen I believe it was WCW. They were always talking about how they were aligning. But if you think about it like this, there are four legs to every successful football franchise. Owner, general manager, head coach, quarterback. They all have to be on the same. They all have to be on the same page in order to, you know, have a shot at success. It's like the general man. It's like the quarterback has to take notes from the head coach. Head coach has to take notes from the general manager. General manager has to take notes from the owner. Seems like Jacksonville, they are not on the same page.
Yeah.
Like not even close to being on the same page. Any other observations as we go into the hurry up, guys?
Not ones I see. And Ian, the less said about this game, the better.
All that needs to be said is...
Yep.
The AFC North was decided. Now... Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens all over the Browns 35-10. And Lamar got to 4,000 yards, going 16-32, 217, two touchdowns, and also I think ran for 800 on the ground and for the season. Mm-hmm. And this is why you signed Derrick Henry. 20 carries, 138, megabuster. And two touchdowns. Rashad Bateman led all Ravens with 5 out of 8 for 76 and a touch. Mark Andrews, 4 out of 8 for 54 and a touch. And not much to say about the Browns. Bailey Zappe, 16-31, 170. Threw a touchdown pass, but two picks. Got sacked once. DTR saw a little bit of time, but he too got sacked. Really nothing to say on the running backs or the wideouts. Jerry Jeudy grabbed 6 out of 13 for 63. Jordan Akins grabbed a touchdown. Only a fitting end for the Browns, who had a bust of a season and had a pretty good shot at the top pick of the draft, depending on how other teams did.
Well, we will get to that momentarily. In fact...
And the business. We call this foreshadowing.
Meanwhile, Meanwhile, in a game that meant absolute fumpkins, the Colts beat the Jags 26-23 in overtime. Joe Flacco, 23 of 40 for 264, one touch, no pick, three sacks. Jonathan Taylor with the Mega Buster was the rushing game. 34 carries, 177 yards and a touch.
That's rare. When rushing game, the rushing game. That's it.
Jonathan Taylor, the rushing.
Soy love rushing game. Yes.
Yes. Josh Downs, leading receiver, 10 out of 13 for 94 yards. But Alec Pierce with the touch and several special teams, I guess. But over on the Jags, Mac Jones got in the action with a 20-32 for 225. One touch, one pick, two sacks. Tank Bigsby is your leading rusher with 39 yards and a touch. And Brian Thomas Jr., leading receiver with a...
Laser time, boys!
But Parker Washington...
Who this guy be?
Is the only... scorer on in the air.
Now, in a game that actually meant something, the Buffalo Bills, and by the way, I thought Josh Allen played. He didn't, or did he?
Did he?
Well, only a couple of snaps he played.
But it doesn't put him on the passing. Okay. But now, if New England lost this game, they would have had the number one pick, correct?
Correct.
Well, guess what New England did? They won 23-16. Okay? Joe Milton III.
Who this guy be?
22 of 29, 241. Pretty clean game, actually. And, well, Kayshon Booty, don't play this. Well, he gets a laser, though.
Booty wide up!
Laser time, boys!
He was a fat booty. 7 of 7 for 117 in touch. Over on the field, not much, really. They weren't playing for anything. So it was all second, except James Cook got his touchdown. I believe there was an incentive there.
I believe so, too. I believe it was either $1 million or $500,000.
Something to that effect. We'll talk more incentives in a minute.
Because somebody was incentivized to, and they decided to exercise that on the most inopportune time. But more on that later.
Yes, and okay, now Jim Harbaugh, coach, your candidate. They go into Las Vegas, 34-20. They were just playing for, you know, they were just playing to have fun. So Aiden O'Connell was 24-34, 214, two touches. And actually, Justin Herbert played because I believe there was a seeding involved, wasn't there?
I believe, yep.
And J.K. Dobbins was your leading rusher, but Well, what a mega buster for this one, too, why don't you? Quentin Johnston, 13 of 14, 186. Will Disley and DJ Chark.
DJ Chark.
A touchdown. In a game where I don't know what happened here.
I believe, let's cut the seat. I believe, Seahawks and the Rams are both 10-7 to end the season, so I believe seeding was a bit of a... I believe seeding came into play, but the Seahawks beat the Rams 30-25. I believe that gives them the NFC West?
Well, the Rams already had the NFC West.
Oh. Geno Smith went 20 of 27 for 223. Four touchdowns. No picks, two sacks. Zach Charbonnet, your leading rusher with 59 yards. And Noah Fant, you get a touchdown. DK Metcalf, you get a touchdown. AJ Barner.
Who this guy be?
You get a touchdown. And Jake Bobo.
Who this guy be?
You also get a touchdown. Clean game from Seattle, which, you know, that definitely contributed to the win there. But Jimmy G starts for the Rams and gets 27 of 41 for 334. Two touches, two tuts, one pick, three sacks. Ronnie Rivers, your leading rusher with 48. And Jordan Whittington, leading receiver with 86. They're playing second strings all over the place. Although Tyler Higbee and Tyler Johnson both caught it in the end zone. And speaking of the NFC West, in a game that meant the 49ers lose to the Cardinals. Yeah, the Cardinals were big mad, apparently. 47-24 in the final. Kyler Murray, 25 for 242. Four touches, no picks, no sacks. Clean game there. Tony Jones Jr., leading rusher with one touchdown off of 55 yards. Michael Carter also with the score. And Trey McBride, your leading receiver with 65 yards. And Marvin Harrison Jr., 63 yards. Two touchdowns between them. But Greg Dortch, he scores to his own damn self. Overall, the 49ers of Joshua Dobbs with the start, 29 of 43 for 326. Two touches, two picks, two sacks. Patrick Taylor Jr.
called. Who this guy be?
Yards rushing, but Joshua Dobbs ran in a touch. Oh, damn. So, Ricky Parasol caught a touch, and Kyle Juszczyk also caught a touch.
From Cloverleaf.
And that's going to do it for the Hurry Up. Now it's time for the games that actually mean something.
Yes, indeed. And I think I'll assist you here since this deals with the North, and I put emphasis on the North in my pigskin posts. On Saturday, after the Browns and Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals went to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. The Steelers didn't have too much to play for except for maybe seeding, but the Bengals were like playing for their playoff lives, weren't they?
Pretty much, but we'll get to that momentarily as well.
Yes, The Bengals won a close one, 19-17. Joe Burrow went 37-46 for 277, a touchdown and a pick, got sacked four times. That's what they call a colander. Well, that's what we call a colander.
That is what we call a colander.
Yes, and Khalil Herbert, he was the running game. 20 carries for 69.
Nice.
And flip-flop that number for the yardage that Jamar Chase had, grabbing 10 out of 14 for 96 and a touchdown. And also, Mike Gesicki also grabbed 8 out of 10 for 68, and T. Higgins 4 out of 5 for 53. And over on the Steelers side, Russell Wilson, well, his cooking was somewhat raw, 17 of 31 for 148 and a touch. He also got sacked four times, double colander this time. And Najee Harris didn't do much, 12 carries, 36 yards, but he went in for a touchdown. And Pat Freiermuth grabbed 8 out of 11 for 85 and a touch. So the Steelers, well, given that we mentioned that the Chargers won, they take the 5 seed, and the Steelers lost, will give them the 6 seed. But will the Bengals claim the 7 seed? It all depends on what else happened on Sunday. Foreshadowing again.
There's one game that will decide if the Bengals go to the playoffs or not, and that will come momentarily. But right now, spoilers season. I do.
Spoilers.
Aha, spoiler season has come to Atlanta. Remember I was talking about the Four Horsemen? I believe the Four Horsemen are finally in alignment with Bryce Young finally playing his most confident football in ages. And then you have the head coach, Dave Canales, finally, you know, getting right with his get right. Then you have Dan Morgan, the general manager, allowing all of this stuff to happen, especially early in the season and then late in the season. And then David Tepper finally sat down and shut up. Put it all together, and it's an instant classic with an overtime win for the Panthers over the Falcons, 44-38. Now they were playing at the same time. I want to bring in this game as well. Tampa Bay versus, if you don't mind, I want to bring in this game as well because they were playing simultaneously. Tampa Bay and the NFC South. NFC South was basically playing the 1 o'clock game to see who would be the top. Let's start with the Falcons. 40. They tie it up to end regulation at 38. At around the same time, Tampa Bay beats New Orleans 27-19. Baker Mayfield 21-32 for 2 touches, 1 pick, 1 sack. Bucky Irving, nobody's gonna say who that guy being anytime soon. Your lead rusher with 89 yards and a touch, and then Tampa Bay's receiving. Oh, we gotta talk about Mike Evans. We said we were gonna talk about incentives. Let's talk about incentives. Because Mike Evans, if I'm not mistaken, gets paid either $1 million or $3 million if he passes 1,000 yards per year. Guess what he did on the last drive?
Got the yardage.
Here we go. Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money,
money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money, It's how you do it.
And that is how you punch it.
What the flag, you scallywag?
by virtue of them fooling around in the fourth quarter, the Bucks have clinched the NFC South, beating, I don't know if the Falcons knew what was going on, but they were pretty much playing for pride at this point. And there's basically playing just to keep Dave Canales' job, but I guess after realizing that they're not getting Chuba Hubbard back, they need somebody to step up.
Indeed. Sorry about that, guys.
Enter Miles Sanders, who single-handedly, with some help obviously, got the Panthers to the goal line with first and one, 3 minutes and change left to go, and then stick it in for the walk-off touchdown. Panthers win 44-38.
Are you happy with that win, by the way?
I'm very happy with the win because, okay, like I said, I told Ian this, and I'll say it again. The Four Horsemen. Bryce Young was on the same page as Dave Canales. Dave Canales is on the same page as Dan Morgan. Dan Morgan is on the same page as David Tepper. David Tepper is sitting his ass down and not saying so much. He's just saying, yep, I agree with all three of them. So now I can say with all confidence that the Carolina Panthers are 1 or 2 years away from being 1 or 2 years away.
You are desperate for anything, aren't you?
It could be worse. I could be a Giants fan. Oh, hi, Jason.
So, I was watching this game on Red Zone, and I'm thinking, oh, crap. The Commanders are going to poop this game away. Nope. Washington Commanders going to Dallas, and they win 17-23-19. Marcus Mariota was excellent. 15 of 18, 161, 2 touches, 2 sacks. Jaden Daniels just kind of was in there. Mariota ran himself by his own damn self. And Terry McLaurin and everybody was a touchdown. And the Commanders went in with momentum. Dallas, they played Trey Lance. Cooper Rush?
No momentum.
Right. 20-34, 244, no touches, 2 sacks. Rico Donald ran in for one, and there were no catching touchdowns. I believe there were no scoop sixes there, but the Dallas season just ends with a whimper pretty much.
Let's go over to the frozen Tundra.
Play the music.
Give me a moment.
And also, Christian Watson is out with...
Didn't he trip on turf on that play?
It was a non-contact injury, I believe.
Yeah, he tripped on turf on that play, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me look. It was a non-contact injury.
Yep.
Okay. He went down at the beginning of the second quarter, and he was carted in the locker room with his head to his hand. This is the first time the Bears have won, Ian, since 2018 against the Hawks. Okay.
Yeah. They thought they were going to go to 5-2. Well, they went to 5-2, all right. The only difference is they would have been 5-2 if they were playing Baccarat. But this was not Baccarat. There was a 1 next to the 2. And so...
but again, Caleb Williams was okay. DeAndre Swift had a touchdown. And DJ Moore had a touchdown. And but... I have a question for you. Does this injury, in your opinion, hurt the Packers' chance against the Eagles?
Oh boy, it depends on who shows up for the Eagles. The Eagles have basically shown that they can play whoever and get the desired result. But if they play their starters against this sort of beat up Packers, it's going to be an interesting game, but not so much interesting if you're a Pac-Man, just saying.
So people got pissed off at the Tennessee Titans this week because they wore their Houston Oilers gear in Tennessee.
They won their Houston Oilers gear in Tennessee, playing against the Houston Texans. A lot of Houston football fans naturally had a problem with this. The Texans also had a problem with this, and they took it out on the Titans, winning by a score of 23-14. And they didn't even have to shoulder the entire load on CJ Stroud because Davis Mills was basically it. He didn't have to.
No, this guy was it. Foster.
Of course, it didn't matter who you had at quarterback when you have a running back like Damian Pierce.
With 19 carries, 176, and a touch, including a 92-yard scamper.
Bam!
And Nico Collins was the only one who caught the touchdown. No. I needed the You'll Love It at 11 because of Will Levis.
This is an edit point.
Edit point, right.
That's fine. This is fine.
I think I found the right one. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
You'll Love It at 11!
Was terrible. 9-17, 175, one touch. No rushing touchdowns. The only touchdown went to Tay Martin.
Called. Who this guy be?
There was a lot of them there, but the Tennessee Titans, they're at what, the number 2 pick, number 3? Well, we have the draft order, don't we?
We do. Eventually. We will have the draft order. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. No Saquon? No problem. The Giants, well, again,
they still suck.
Yeah, the Giants were losing 10-0. Philly didn't give a fuck until the end. But the third string quarterback won a game. Patrick McKee. 27-41, 2 touches, 2 sacks, no rushing game to speak of. Aeneas Smith and E.J. Jenkins got the touchdown. Drew Locke actually was kind of okay.
Wait, what?
But Malik Nabers set a record for, I believe, the most receptions by a rookie up until, Brock Bowers did it, right?
Yeah, and Brock Bowers did it later that afternoon, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. So, the less said about this piss-poor piece of shit season that the Giants had, the better. Really.
Now,
it was just so much for a 100 season. Meanwhile, it is time for
the BS Big Show
Game
of
the Year.
For the week.
Hey, what? Riddle me this, boys.
Yeah.
What happens when you sit Mahomes and Kelce and
everyone else
and start your C squad?
You get a preseason game and Denver does this.
Broncos. Yeah, go Broncos.
Yeah. Yep. 38 to zip. whooping of the...
In the words of Samantha Carpenter's Espresso, my give a fuck, we're on vacation.
Be 38-0 over the Kansas City JV unit.
Yes.
And you know what? I think the Kansas City Chiefs, if they weren't going to get fined by the NFL, they wouldn't have shown up for this game. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I was just saying, they gave no shit for this game. And Denver just had to play. We're not going to even do the statistics for this game. Do you agree?
I agree. I'll just let you know, Bo Nix, it's bow time.
It is 26-29, 321, 4 touchdowns. Okay?
That's all now, you need to know. That's all you need to take from this game.
Right. So then, the Dolphins went to the New York, and oh my God, the Jets played the best game of the year. What?
I'm sorry, what?
They played their best game of the year. Aaron Rodgers threw his 500th touchdown, and the Jets win 32-20.
Yep. It would appear he threw his 500th. That is 500 first. That is 500 second. That is 500 third. All told, he threw 23-36 for 274, 4 touches, 1 pick, 3 sacks.
And Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, Tyler Coughlin, Breece Hall all had the touches. Tyler Huntley was in there. He got sacked 4 times calendar. But we have a little bit of a buster here. Devin Achane, 11 carries, Achane, 11 carries, 121, and a touch, but again, even though the Miami lost, that didn't help because they won, but legitimately, and in every statistical way possible,
with every optic available to humanity.
It is time for, legitimately, the BS Big Show Game of the Year.
All week.
As it would happen, they saved the best for last. The Vikings, the Lions, for the NFC.
Go Lions, go! Go Lions, go!
Yes, 2-14
field advantage for everything.
The whole enchilada.
Yeah, 2-14 win teams going up against each other.
Of the 17,000 games in the NFL's history, this is the first time that's ever happened.
Yes. And it was not even close. All right. The Lions took the number one seed, 31-9, all over the Vikings, and basically it was all about Jahmyr Gibbs. He had a breakout. A supersonic performance from Sonic himself. Yes, Jahmyr Gibbs carried the ball 23 times, 139 yards, and ran in 3 times, and also grabbed 5 out of 5 for 31 and a touchdown. 4 touchdowns, 170 yards overall. Jared Goff, that was his only touchdown pass. He went 27-33, 231, got picked twice, got sacked twice, and Amon-Ra St. Brown grabbed 6 out of 7 for 77, Sam Laporta 7 out of 7 for 63, and basically, the Vikings really couldn't get anything going against the Detroit defense.
Nothing.
Basically,
nothing.
They've been banged up for much of the season, but they really showed up with the next man up mentality and held Sam Darnold to 18 of 41 for 166. And
that looked like shit. Got, I mean, not even really. The Lions defense was absolutely set up.
Got sacked twice, and Cam Akers led the rushing, 6 for 65. Now he's going. Justin Jefferson only 309 for 54. Paul Allen wasn't particularly happy, and he sounded a little restless as the game went along. But at least Paul Allen will have a chance to rest up and get ready for the playoffs. However, it will not be at U.S. Bank Stadium since the Vikings didn't end up with a division title. The Lions, meanwhile, will be playing at Ford Field in the divisional playoffs and the NFC Championship game, should they play there.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to go when they play there, but we'll you know, I hear you. But I have to – now, Chico, you, me, and VRM were watching this game, and every time Jamar Gibbs, we got that. You know, we got that.
Uh-huh. I was just – Wondering what happened to the Vikings, because it just seems like they could not get anything to go right. Sam Darnold wasn't playing his best football. Cam Akers definitely wasn't rushing up to his potential. Aaron Jones was absent. Justin Jefferson was also absent. Can you explain all of this? Because I'm at a loss.
It's hard for me to explain, but the Lions defense pretty much stepped up when they needed to, and the Vikings just couldn't quite reel it in. Yes, and they thought there were some penalties, or at least Paul Allen thought there were some penalties, but there weren't, and they had no answer.
I have to ask you, are you worried with the Vikings being 14-3 and a 5 seed?
No, not real. I'm not really worried. They have a pretty good shot to get to the divisional round, but typically, if they go up against the Eagles or the Lions again, I'm not liking their chances, and especially especially if they're going up against Jahmyr Gibbs again. Oh, by the way, Mega Buster. That's what you get with a 170-yard performance.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions look. I know I'm chalk-tastic, and remember, I did say Lions Chiefs in the beginning of the season. I have it here somewhere. But oh my God, the Lions and the Chiefs look inevitable right now. They do.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And just 26 years ago, Broncos Vikings was inevitable, but then. Then along came the championship game where the Vikings choked and the Falcons cheated. Fuck Jamal Anderson. Fuck Chris Chandler. Fuck Tony Martin. Fuck Terrence Mathis. And oh, and I forgot one more thing.
Haven't seen that.
It's a good thing we weren't doing the BS Big Show back then. If we were, I would have gone all Stephen A. and I would have said a lot of harsher words and would have had to use my blackout button numerous times.
But you know what? It's time to be a hero. It really is.
It's time to be a hero!
We'll be right back.
And really, if you think about it, Hero Team, give it to these two chokers right here, because they gave us one for the ages. If you're talking about... Yeah. And if you're talking about a hero player, it has to be, you know, with an honorable mention to Miles Sanders. I'm going to freely admit to that. Jahmyr Gibbs is your hero player. Just absolutely unstoppable.
I will give, again, my hero team is the Lions. My hero player is Gibbs. But I want to give an honorable mention to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Mike Evans. They knew that Mike Evans was like 6 yards away from 1,000 yards, and they got it to him, and Baker was clutch, and Evans was clutch, and he had 11 straight seasons of 1,000 yards. So that's my hero.
Yes, my hero player is Jahmyr Gibbs, of course, and I also got to give nods to Bryce Young, Karen Rogers, Kyler Murray, Geno Smith, Bo Nix with their 4 touchdown performances, 4 or more, and any player who achieved the goals they needed for incentive. My hero units are the Lions and Broncos defenses. My hero teams are the Lions, as well as the Broncos, Buccaneers, and Commanders, and for the Bears for finally getting that 5th win for the first time since Tyreek showboated. And now... Blip it and
hero.
I don't really have any zero players, but one of my zeros goes to whoever it was that kept Saquon Barkley from trying for the record, whether it was the Eagles, the coaching staff, or Barkley himself. Who knows? That my zero unit is the Vikings offense, and my zero teams are the Patriots and the Dolphins. But mainly the Patriots, because of they won, but they because of that they lost the number one pick, which instead goes to
Titans. Go!
Yeah, the Titans.
Oh wow, the Titans. That's right. We're gonna get to that in a minute. My zero team, really honestly, is. Because, you know, you really can't have any zero teams per se, because some of the teams try. But, I mean, if I really want to give it some, I got to give it to the Chiefs. Really? Did you? If you're going to tank, make it look good. I mean, seriously, make
it
look good.
They were reading from another script is what it was.
Mm-hmm. And you, Chico?
Okay, I can't pick any players, but I will say that the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Packers, nobody mentioned the Packers, are definitely on the line for the losers, the zeros, if you will, of 15.
Chico, for a while yet, I don't think this will be the last time, but for one
as long as the NFL is churning out this sort of thing, we're going to be churning out this.
All right, Rangers, it's time to power up.
You want power?
Chico, I'll Jason, take the bottom. I would. Sorry, Ian, your Browns are number 32. They're down 2.
They deserved it.
Yep. The Titans are up 1-31. The Giants are down 1-30. The Patriots are up 2-29 because of that's up 2? Really? That's it? Wow, that's a short little Mario, but okay. Raiders down 1-28. Jaguars up 1-27. Jets stay at 26. Hit it again. Oh no, sorry. Saints down 2-25. Panthers up 1-24. Bears up 1-23. Niners down 2-22. Cowboys stay at 21. Colts stay, jump to at 20. Falcons down 2-19. Dolphins stay at 18. And again, Cardinals are up 2-17. Chico.
Number 16, it's the Seattle Seahawks. Number 15, the Cincinnati Bengals. Number 14, the Houston Texans. We swear this is not a rerun because it at number 13 with the biggest
drop.
It is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 12 goes to the Rams. The Denver Broncos on the outside looking in at up two. At number 11, we go to the top 10, and the Tampa Bay Bucks at number 10. Chargers are in at 9. The Packers drop 1-8. The Commanders swap spots with them at lucky 7. The Vikings drop 2-6. And the top 5 look something like this. The Baltimore Ravens up 1-5. The Eagles up 1-4. The Bills down 1-3, swapping spots with the Detroit Lions. Despite the downright chicanery, the fuckery, the cheek, the gall, and the audacity, the Chiefs are still at number 1.
Play it.
Hey, how about those dreams?
In the middle of the night, in my dreams, I know I'm gonna be with you, so I'll take my time. Are you ready for it?
By the way, be ready for Reputation Taylor's version out in about a month or two. I've been seeing things. Nice. Like some Spotify listing.
Have you been reading the tea leaves? Is that what it is?
No. What I actually legitimately read was that there was a Spotify tag put out for "Look What You Made Me Do," Taylor's version.
Ah. So Reputation Taylor's version is on its way.
It is on its way very, very soon. But so Chiefs 1, Lions 2, Bills 3, Eagles 4, Ravens 5. Yeah, that's about right. That is definitely right.
There you go. Hey, they got it right. Nice.
So we don't necessarily have to do the playoff picture, but we do have to do the playoff bracket.
Yes,
right?
We do. Well, it's it. Well,
playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Well, we have to at this point.
Well, you know what? We're going to do that just a little bit later, you see, because let's stick into the news first.
Are you ready, kids?
I'm ready, Captain!
Aye, aye.
I can hear you!
Aye, aye, Captain!
That's right, the Nick Wildcard game is back!
Hell yeah!
Kinda, sorta. Nick gets the Chargers-Texans game, which will be at 4:30 this Saturday. But here's the thing. Nate Burleson, who, by the way, will be hosting Hollywood Squares on Thursday.
Hey, by the way, that team kicks ass. It's so good. I can't wait to find the clean version once eventually it'll get on YouTube.
Yeah. Anyway, Dylan Schefter will be on the sidelines, but joining Nate in the booth will not be Noah Eagle because he has a contract with NBC, if I'm not mistaken. So we have Teddy Cheeks as performed by Carolyn Lawrence.
Don't that was going to be
dare
live?
Take the name of Texas in vain.
Exactly.
By the way, will it be live or will it be like the Simpson thing?
I believe it will be live mocap, if I'm not mistaken, with obvious delays for the technology to catch up. But we've seen But CBS, the Paramount family of networks, they were the first with the alt cast. They did it first, and for my money, they did it best. So, yeah. Now, my guess is, actually, it's not more of a guess, it's more of like a question, but Bill Fagerbach, I know his name,
mm-hmm.
he's played the game. He's been on Coach. He knows a thing or two about football. I thought about, the more I think about it, it's like they could have easily gotten him in the booth, but he'd have to break kayfabe because he would be performing as Patrick. And Patrick, if you remember, is dumber than a ball of rocks. So yeah, this is basically making the best of a bad situation here. They don't have Noah Eagle, but they have Sandy Cheeks. It's going to be live from Bikini Bottom. It's going to work out perfectly because if you remember, Energy.
Oh, well, the Knicks stuff is fine, but I'll be watching the game on Saturday and all that good stuff. But
only fitting that the game is being played in the state of Texas.
Don't you dare take the name of Texas in vain!
Which is Sandy's home state. She's a native Texan.
I know this.
But in the words of Nikki Haman, fuck this shit, I'm out.
Oh.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
That was Tyreek Hill pretty much the Dolphins this week. As he basically said, brother, I'm out, bruh.
I'm out, bro.
Yeah.
Because he said, now we looked this up. He has a big-ass contract, doesn't he?
He does. And he signed it earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm opening the door. I'm out, bruh. So where do you think you send him to Dallas. That'll be fine.
Oh yeah, they'll love him there.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing though. According to NFL.com, the Dolphins have met with Tyreek Hill after all of that.
Right.
But they said they each met. They plan to keep the discussions private. And this is from General Manager Chris Greer. I would say Mike and I both had conversations with Tyreek yesterday. Productive conversations. I would keep those between us. The one thing I would say is, in a frustrating season, he was very emotional. In a game where we had a chance, coming back from 2-6, I would say that's probably the thing I'm most proud of. The players, Mike, the coaching staff, when we were 2-6, we're playing in week 18 to potentially sneak in the playoffs. Again, we keep that private, but we've had, it's all blah, blah, blah. Words, words, words.
He'll still settle whatever. It doesn't really matter. Get the fanfare.
All right, before we get into the main course over the next couple of weeks, we have an amuse-bouche for you. The FCS has crowned a winner, and dare I say, Dynasty, if I'm not mistaken, 10 of the last 14 for North Dakota State, winning over Montana State, 35-32. Cam Miller ran for 2 touchdowns. Through for 2 more. It is 54th start. Montana State's bid for perfection. Cam Miller ran for 2 touchdowns, threw for 2 more. On the other side, Tommy Malott. Tommy Malott ran for 135 yards on 14 carries and was 13 of 24 passing for 195 yards and two touches, throwing a 19-yarder to Taco Dowler, Taco Tuesday, with a 1:09 before an unsuccessful onside kick attempt. So, yeah, close but new. Now we look to the future. North Dakota State will open the 2025 season at the Citadel on August 30th, while Montana State will play its opener at Oregon on August 30th.
But we have semifinals to talk about. And one starts, I believe, Thursday. One is Friday, one is Saturday. Is that right?
One is Thursday and one is Friday.
Okay. Notre Dame, Penn State in the Orange Bowl, and Ohio State, Texas in the Cotton Bowl. Oh, boy. You know, if I was putting a little cash on this, I think we get a Big Ten final rematch. Penn State, Ohio State for all the Duckets.
Not outside the realm of possibility, but yeah, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a couple of good games. It's going to be a good game Thursday, good game Friday.
Yeah, we will have the championship rematch on next week's show. But Chico Alexander, do you retain your title as the DFL champion?
You want to talk about Dynasty? Let's talk about Dynasty. This is a matchup between two of the best players in the DFL. The South Jersey Stormers, Kim S. I see you, girl. And then Chapel Hill Transit. I see you, Chica. Thank you. Chapel Hill Transit shining star Derrick Henry outperforms their projection with 48.1. On the flip side, Jared Goff must have been napping as I was looking at his score, waiting for it to change. It did not, but he fell short of his projection. He had 34.24. Meanwhile, for the Stormers, Jonathan Taylor had a decent showing, surpassing projection with 42 points. Jordan Addison was practicing his golf swing, managing 1 point. However, this must be brought up. This, I believe, was the margin of victory. Kim made a boo-boo. Kim made two boo-boos. Ian, get the puppy ready. She left Saquon Barkley and Hunter Henry on the
Hero.
On the front.
Hero.
On the starting line. On the starting lineup. The final score. 152.08 for the Stormers. For the Transit, 183.24. And still, your undisputed champion of the DFL and the winner of the championship belt, the Chapel Hill Transit. React.
Yeah. All right.
Congratulations, sir.
Congratulations.
This is number three of the this is the repeat performance, number three of the last five. I've got a bit of history here. For the last 6 years, it was either myself or Megan's team Awesome Sauce. So yeah, like I said, you want to talk about Dynasty? Let's talk about Dynasty. Now, we look forward to what the DFL has in store next season. And Ian, remind me one more time how they can catch the DFL.
Yes, indeed. First of all, congratulations goes out to the Chapel Hill Transit for completing the route to another DFL title. And in case you missed it last week, congratulations once again to Stephen Ford and his Alka agents for winning BS Bowl 14. Nothing more to say about that except mission accomplished. Now, if you would like to look back on any of what went on in the Williams League and or the DFL this season or in previous seasons, subscribe to Williams League Plus, which has replays of individual games and Williams League End Zones presented by Auto Draft Kings, plus other exclusive content. And for the offseason, is available only for the annual price of $69.69.
Nice.
And with that, the fantasy season is over. And now, let's play the week ahead stinger. No, not that stinger. The week ahead stinger. Thank you. That's more like it.
Okay. So, let's talk in depth as we go. Before we talk about the week ahead, we need to bring up one more thing. We've been talking about this all show, but we haven't brought it up yet. The draft order.
That's right.
So.
Here we go.
With the win in New England, the Titans are officially on the clock. And followed that up with the Cleveland Browns, who moved up one.
Fun times in Cleveland today. Cleveland.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. Followed by the New York Giants.
Yeah.
Then the New England Patriots. Nothing for the Patriots. Okay.
Victory is mine.
And in at number five is Jacksonville Jaguars. Followed by the Las Vegas Raiders. And the J-E-T-S Jets.
Yeah, you can play it.
And then by virtue of their win this week, the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, I love that one.
Staying in the new, staying in the NFC South with the Saints. And rounding out the top 10 are the Chicago Bears. The Bears still suck.
The Bears still suck.
Okay. Moving on, from number 11 is the 49ers. Number 12 of the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Number 13
are the Miami Dolphins. I know this. There we go. The Colts are at 14.
Stay pony, my friend.
Number 15,
a little girl.
Yeah, God bless you, Jim. 15 of the Falcon.
Oh, Donald!
And the 16 are the Cardinale.
The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs!
And the Bengals are at 17. And 18 are the Seahawks.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Hey, good choice. That was good. I like that one.
You
gotta
go with the pinball.
And the rest of the draft order will be predicted as the playoffs go with the
on. Yes, indeed. And with 19, 20, 21, 22, 23... 19 through 24 will be determined by the eliminatees in Super Wild Card Weekend by regular season record, and going on from there by 25 to 28 are for divisional losers. The championship losers go 29-30. 31 gets the Super Bowl runner-up, and 32 gets the champion.
There you go.
You know, I did not realize how that was determined. For real. I did not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Holy cow. A wild Carl appears.
How about we hijack the show first?
The Chief is here. The Chief is back.
Yeah, we just... We're perfect timing. Because we just were about to predict who we think are moving on. Your timing was perfect. Let's start with the Saturday afternoon game, the Knick game, the CBS game. I believe that is... That is the Texans-Chargers game, correct?
Yes. 4:30 is Saturday on the Paramount family of networks. CBS, Paramount Plus, and of course Nickelodeon. Right now, the Chargers are 2.5-point favorites. Really? We're really gonna do this?
What are you saying?
I'm saying don't sleep on the Texans.
I'm picking the Chargers. Sorry.
I am picking the Chargers as well. I think that the Chargers will win at least one game before they lose. I think the Texans are overrated right now. I think that Stroud is having a little bit of issues. I just think the Chargers are a bit better. Take the Chargers from me.
And I'm also going to go with the Chargers, and by more than 2.5 points. Houston is a little banged up. Stroud's performance this season, it doesn't help that Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell have been injured for the bulk of the season. Sure, Nico Collins has stepped up and done very well, but still, Stroud's nothing without great weapons, and the Chargers are better. Their defense is doing well, and Herbert has done quite well as well, so I'm going with the Chargers by more than 2.5.
Okay, next up, the season finale.
But you're calling the Texans?
I'm calling the Texans. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, next. Well,
next up is the season finale of Thursday Night Football on Prime. Just so happens to be on a Saturday. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens at 8 o'clock. Baltimore giving 10 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know what? Lamar Jackson and King Henry are lethal. Give me the Ravens and give me the points.
Oh, you're saying they're beating them more by more than 10?
Yes.
No. While I agree with you that the Baltimore will win, I don't think it's going to be 10. I think it's going to be 7. I just don't think Pittsburgh is that lethal right now. They're a mid-pack team.
Emphasis on mid.
Right. Carl?
Hey, Jason, you know how you said the Texans were frauds?
Yeah.
Fraud detection warning. Fraud detection warning.
I'm going way over. Give me the Ravens and give me 17.
Ooh, okay. Wow. All right.
And ain't gonna be close, ladies and gentlemen. Ain't gonna be close, gentlemen.
And as for my look, I'm also gonna go with the Ravens, but I'm gonna go even.
All
so
right.
So you think they win by 10?
By 10.
Okay.
Okay. Now we go to the Sunday games, and it starts at 1:00 on CBS with the Broncos meeting the Bills. It's going to be streaming live on Paramount Plus. Buffalo is a 9-point favorite.
Go ahead.
That's way too little. Especially with Josh Allen playing. It's gonna be Buffalo. It's not even gonna be close.
I agree with you, sadly. And well, not sadly, because I like Denver. They're a year away from being a year away. But Buffalo's gonna cover that and more. That just leads to 2 touchdown games for me.
That's my thoughts exactly.
Carl?
This'll be a closer game than y'all think.
Ooh, okay.
I say Buffalo wins by only one field goal.
Oh, wow. That's...
Okay. Last second?
Not particularly. Maybe in the last 2 minutes for sure.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not sleeping completely on this Broncos team yet. I mean, yeah, they're a year away, but they've been fighting.
Oh, yeah. We saw them fight. Granted, it was against
even though they beat the crap out of the second string Chiefs players this past weekend.
Yeah. Okay, now we go into the 4:30 game on Fox. The Packers, still the best football team in ages, and it's not even close. The Packers meet the Eagles at 4:30, Philadelphia, a 4-point favorite. Woo-hoo-hoo! If Jalen Hurts...
I don't want to call the upset here, but I can't. Because of two words. Saquon Barkley. Seriously.
Gonna run his tight little butt off. It's gonna be...
But I will say this.
P-L-E-F.
I'm in agreement.
I say the Eagles are going to win, but I don't think they cover. I think it's going to be like a 1-point game, something like that.
Nice.
Ian? Yeah, I'll say a 7-point win.
And I also have Philadelphia by more than 4.
Oh,
okay.
Give me Philadelphia by a touchdown, so that's going to
be fun. Like I typically say, never trust the North, and... Given that the Packers are a little bit banged up, it would be hard to trust them. It would be time for them to prove me wrong.
It would indeed be time for the prove wrong. Speaking of the proof, Washington at Tampa Bay to round out the night. On NBC.
This is my upset special right here.
You think Washington's going to take it?
Not only do I think Washington's going to take it, I think they're going to win by at least 7 points. I am impressed by how Tampa Bay's consistency and the fact that Baker Mayfield now has a home and he is a top 10 quarterback. For real. But Jaden Daniels is the real. The Commanders are fucking awesome to watch. And I love this team. Give me the Commanders winning.
I love the Commanders. I think Jaden Daniels is the future. But Baker Mayfield and company, they're going to give them a run for their money. I think it's going to be close, but I think it's going to be the Bucks by 1.
And
I got the Commanders by, we'll say 7 again.
So you think the Commanders win as well?
Yep.
And as for me, I think it all boils down to experience. Washington has plenty of time to grow, while the Buccaneers already have some experience, which is basically what'll benefit the Bills as well. And I'm going to go with the Bucks, but the Commanders are going to make it close. I'll call it even. 3-point game, Tampa Bay wins.
And final game of the weekend is on Monday Night Football. On the ESPN/ABC family of networks, where we're going to see the Vikings take on the Rams in what could very well be, well, actually, the Vikings are 1.5-point favorites, so it couldn't, it, you know what? I like the Vikings in this game. I like the the Rams are nursing some bruises. Sam Darnold and company is gonna try and get their minds right from this loss that they had over the past week. They're going to come back big, and they're going to take it out of the Rams. Give me the Vikings and the points.
Take the Vikings as well, and I'm being very serious here. If Sam Darnold has two bad games in a row, I would be absolutely shocked at that. Totally shocked at that. Vikings win. Vikings win and take the point.
And, well, Carl, you got one? Because I'm going last.
Go first.
Well, aha. Give me the Vikings. Paul Allen calls another game more than 1.5.
Is it my turn now?
Yes, it's your turn.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Roll the tape on this. Upset of wild card weekend.
Oh,
I'm taking
boy.
The Rams, and it's going to be 21 points.
Whoa!
Okay.
I think that loss really took the Vikings up.
Whoa!
Okay, why?
I really think that loss shook them up pretty bad.
Well, so here, I got something for you, Carl. Here, you take this wolf head, put it on your head, and howl.
God forbid, I do not want to hear another Paul Allen, like no, I did the other night.
Yeah, since you're like the lone wolf among the four of us here, we went with the Vikings and you went with the Rams. Yeah.
Everybody, for the record, and I can go back on this because we're recording, everybody in this room has had a lone wolf moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So glass houses, my friend. Glass houses.
Well, okay. So, okay. Before we go into plugs, give me the game of the week that you're watching. The game of the week that you're most excited to watch.
All right. For me, it would definitely have to be, well, my heart says Chargers-Texans because the Nick game, want to see how they do it again. And I hope ABC are watching and taking notes like, this is how you do an alt cast. But really, it's going to be Green Bay and Philadelphia. It's like, which version of which team shows up? Who's the winner and who's the fraud?
My game is Washington-Tampa Bay. That's the team. That's the game I'm most excited for, not just because my sister is a big Commanders fan. I think that's the game that it's one of those games that Washington is my most exciting team to watch outside of the Big Two.
And this is, I think, the second time they've met in the postseason. So I'm going to say the same thing Jason is. It's the Commanders and Bucks for me.
And I'm going with Vikings-Rams for obvious reasons.
Homer!
Ain't nothing wrong with that. No, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No, there is not, but you know what?
Bodyguard alone.
No, not at all. And we will definitely have that. But as we move to plugs, Mr. Carl Schneer, last night on for the NAWC this week, the WWE moved into the Netflix era last night with a WrestleMania-worthy pay-per-view type show, which was absolutely phenomenal. New Year's Evil was just as good as they crowned not one, but two new champions. And this is the WrestleMania.
Somebody ran out of time on his promo earlier.
What did you say?
Somebody ran out of time on his promo earlier.
Well, yeah, and was cursing up a storm, too. But that's okay.
I guess they got the news that they were on Netflix so they could do such things.
No.
Well, The Rock was bleeping out some stuff last night.
They were bleeping out stuff, but and we will also talk about a little Pixel Nation crossover with the Tribal Chief now maybe being the Tribal cover athlete for 2K25. You see.
Yeah,
and hand. And we will talk
what
more
night
about
y'all
that.
Record. I might jump on to share my thoughts.
Depends on Miss Heyman. We shall see. Yes.
Okay. We'll talk about
on. Yes, of course. WLTI tomorrow, Chico. We're a little busy.
Let's see. We got Celebrity Jeopardy. We've got Deal or No Deal Island, Drag Race. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of Wheel of Fortune,
right?
And I guess they're gonna have a replay for everything else that we could squeeze into all of those. It's gonna be very busy.
And we also have to cover the sudden tragic death of RuPaul's Drag Race UK, who suddenly passed away this past week, which was just
very sudden and very sad.
Yes, and there's going to be, unfortunately, some haterade within that as well.
Oh, yeah. All I can say is, you don't want that smoke. I'm not going to name names right now, but to that person, you don't want that smoke.
Yeah, exactly. But and of course, I believe the super toilet is back. Yes.
Yes, it is the mightiest winter that I think we've ever had. So we're going to cover a great deal of it tomorrow on WLTI. Meanwhile, over at It Was a Thing, we are kicking off the new year with a couple new things. CPO Sharky went up on Friday. Up on Monday is The Charmings, which was basically Once Upon a Time, before Once Upon a Time was Once Upon a Time. Story of Snow White, Prince Charming, and their two boys living in Ronald Reagan's America. Yeah.
And by the way, we also have to cover the wildfires in Los Angeles right now. Everything has been canceled right now.
We do. And again, if you're out that way, please stay safe. Please be careful. Take heed of all of the warnings that you are given. And if you are at the sort of terminally online sort, not naming names, but don't try and be a hero.
No. And we know people out there. We have a full West Coast crew out there.
We do. And we hope that they're all safe.
Ian, you... Dad?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, I publish my Pigskin posts to my Facebook page and share it with the BS group. And we're in full playoff mode now, since the NFL is going to be doing Destination New Orleans as going over the playoffs, and my Skull in the Dog Pound becomes Skull Playoffs, keeping track of the Vikings playoff progress, and Northern Exposure becomes Northern Playoff Exposure, going over how the Lions and the Packers and the Ravens and Steelers are doing in the playoffs. And of course, there's also Help Wanted, going over not just Black Monday, but any coaching changes that occur in the NFL. Same thing for college, where I'm continuing the march to Atlanta, going over the college football playoff semifinals this week, and also around the Buckeye State, doing a little look at the upcoming Cotton Bowl Classic between Ohio State and Texas from a Buckeye perspective, as I typically do. And there's also the help wanted for pretty much any level. And also, I have my postseason awards on the post that I did earlier today. And this Thursday, I am going to be posting my Pigskin Post Teams of the Year. That is the fantasy players that you really should have started and drafted and played when you had the chance to do so, and as well as a list of players that you really shouldn't have drafted, started, or played if you had the chance to, because they weren't as good as they thought they would be. So it's all in the Pigskin Post Tuesdays, Thursdays on BS Group and my Facebook page. And I'll be back next week to see whether any of my picks to click were correct. And the one difference is here, I actually toe the line each time, if you catch my drift. So we'll see whether my picks are accurate or if the teams that I went against prove me wrong. I'll see you next time.
All right. And finally, Carl.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, as I make it home and take care of this fur ball here. Late last year, as Chico knows, I attempted to start a new project called React Tracks. Unfortunately, I had to take it down because I didn't like the way it came out, so I've been kind of re-tinkering around with the format. And it was going to re-debut sometime within the next month or so. So look, be on the lookout for that.
Okay, that is cool. But, of course, Chico, we need to go home.
I'm already home. I don't know what you're talking about.
We need to end the fucking show.
We need to go to sleep now. Some of us have places to be tomorrow morning. But, yeah. Hi. Hi, how you doing? Anyway, yeah, next week we begin the first leg to New Orleans. And also we set ourselves up for a trip to Atlanta. Four teams enter, two teams will leave. Who gets the ticket and who gets the shaft? All of these questions and more will be answered. Plus, we have the postseason awards. Gotta get those out of the way. We will talk about those all next week on the BS. For Carl, for Ian, for Jay, my name is Chico. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Say goodnight, Jay.
Goodnight, Jay.
Goodnight, everybody. Enjoy the football.
Peace.